Chapter 12. A Normal House. We flew home without speaking, and I left Will with Mr. and Mrs. Traynor as soon as we got to Stortford. They gave me some strange looks, but I did not want to speak to them about it. I went straight home to my parents and stayed in my room for 3 days. After that, I only spoke to Trina, and I did not go out. Then, on the 12th of August, Mrs. Traynor called me. Trina drove me straight to the airport. "I've changed my mind and I have to go," I told her. "I've changed because of him, Trina. It's because of him that I've started to think about going to college. I love him, and he has to decide what's best for him. But I don't want him to be alone when he dies." I flew into Zurich Airport at midnight and went straight to a hotel. The next morning, a taxi took me to Dignitas. I did not know what to expect from the building, but it looked like a normal house, with factories and a football field next to it. A woman opened the door and knew who I was. "He is here," she said. "Shall I take you to him?" I stood still for a moment, feeling frightened. Then I breathed deeply and nodded. I saw the bed before I saw him. It was huge and white. Mrs. Traynor sat on one side, and Mr. Traynor sat on the other. Georgina was in a chair in the corner, and her eyes were red from crying. Will looked at me and smiled, and I smiled back. "Nice room," I joked. Then Will turned to his mother. "I want to talk to Lou. Is that okay?" She tried to smile, but I knew that she was thinking many things at the same time. "Of course," she said. Then she, Mr. Traynor, and Georgina left the room, and it was just us. "I'm not going to try and change your mind," I said. Then, "I missed you." He relaxed then. "Come over here," he said. "Sit on the bed, next to me." I lay down and put my arm across him. Then I lifted my head and laid it on his shoulder. I could feel his fingers on my back and his soft breathing in my hair. I said nothing, but tried to feel him and remember him, this man who I loved. Then I heard his voice say quietly in my ear, "Hey, Clark, tell me something good." So I told him a story of two people who did not like each other much when they first met. But later they learned that they were the only two people who really understood each other. I told him about their adventures and journeys and the help that they gave each other. And while I spoke, I knew how important these words were to him. I told him something good. Time slowed. It was just the two of us with me talking in the empty, sunny room. Will did not say much. Sometimes he nodded or made a small sound. "It has been," I finished, "the best 6 months of my life." There was a long silence. Then he said, "Funnily enough, Clark, mine too." And then I began to cry. I held him and cried and cried. "Don't, Clark," he said. I felt him kiss my head. Look at me. I shook my head. Look at me, please. I lifted my head. His eyes looked clear and relaxed. You look so beautiful, he said. And then he kissed me and we held each other, and we said nothing, but my body told him that he was loved. We stayed like that for a long time, and then finally I felt him breathe deeply, and he pulled his head back so that we could see each other. Clark, he said quietly, can you call my parents in? I sat in front of the dark green cafe, looking down the Rue des Francs-Bourgeois. It was a beautiful, sunny autumn day in Paris. Then I drank some of my coffee and smiled at the plate of warm bread, butter and jam in front of me. I put my hand over my eyes in front of the sun and watched a woman play with her hair in front of a shop window. Then I breathed deeply before taking the letter out of my bag. Only to be read in the Café Marquis, Rue des Francs-Bourgeois, Paris, with warm bread and jam. The letter was written using the voice recognition software on Will's computer. Clark, it will be autumn now. I hope the coffee is good, and the bread is warm, and that it is still sunny enough to sit outside. There are a few things that I want to say. When you get back to England, take this letter to Michael Lawler. He has money for you. It is enough to pay for the college course you talked about and living costs while you are studying. It will also buy you somewhere nice to live. I am not giving this money to you to say thank you. I'm giving it to you because there is not much that makes me happy anymore, but you do. I want to know that I have helped you to live a good life, a better life. Knowing this helps me. You are braver than you think you are, Clark. I can see it. So please live well, wear those black and yellow tights, and be happy. You have touched my heart. You did it the first day you arrived, with your crazy clothes and your bad jokes. You changed my life much more than this money will ever change yours. Don't be sad. Just live well. Love, Will. Penguin Readers. Me Before You. Jojo Moyes. Level 4. Adapted by Anna Truin. Illustrated by Scott Brown. Series Editor, Sorrel Pitts. Read by Gabrielle Glaister. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2019.